Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, let's head right out to the Dial Pad guest line and chat with former 49er head coach and NFL Network analyst Steve Mariucci. Steve is brought to you by Gelati Construction, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. Steve, 49ers win 36-26. Yesterday they go to 9-1. Just your overall impressions and thoughts of that game yesterday.
Well, I think the word "wow" comes to mind. What a heck of a game it was, and having a couple of close games with Arizona actually in the last 3 weeks made it real interesting. And it was just a fun game to watch. You saw a couple of teams going back and forth, and Arizona got out in front, and the Niners fought their way back. And boy, did it end in fine fashion for the Niner Nation. And crazy game. And here's what I saw. You know, no Matt Breida, and the Niners have been great running the football all year. And really, they were, because they got behind and the injury, you only rushed for 34 yards. Had to rely on the young quarterback. Had to rely on Jimmy Garoppolo, who really the Niners have been, you know, depending on a great defense and a great strong run game to help them out, help win games. Jimmy Garoppolo had to win that game with his arm and his decision-making and sometimes his legs. And boy, did he deliver, throw, you know, for over 400 yards and four touchdowns. And so I think we learned something from watching that game. And the Niners offense doesn't really have to be one-dimensional. It can rely on the quarterback if need be to come from behind, which he did, put a drive together at the end. And so that was encouraging.
Mooch, I'm watching some early games yesterday, and I got to tell you, for the first time in a long time, a lot of coaches decided to go for two early in the game, and I just didn't get it. I think Haile Akiyo, and yesterday he went for two, and I was kind of bewildered as to what was going on. You being a former head coach, can you speak to why it seems like coaches are being more aggressive, or somebody would tell you, hey, Mooch, this is when you need to go for two?
Yeah, the only thing I can't answer for why coaches are going for two early. I see it in high school games, see it in college games sometimes. You know, you just, you know, get up by eight or whatever that is might put the other team a little bit out of whack. But I do know this. Kickers are missing more PATs and field goals this year than we've had in the last 25 years. Okay? So does that play into some of their thinking, hey, you know, we're going to go for two, we're going to rely on our quarterback or, you know, to get 2 yards? I don't know. But the kickers are having a tough time this year all of a sudden. And so sometimes maybe guys are going for it more on fourth down on the 35-yard line going in rather than kicking a long field goal or against the wind. But the going for two is kind of a new trend, new analytics, right? And I'm not sure if that's helping them win or lose. We'd have to wait and see it till the end of the season and see if it's helped anybody.
Mooch, I don't think we talked after the Seattle game. We talked beforehand, and Russell Wilson put on the show. But Garoppolo, you know, we got ridiculed. You know, a lot of drop passes from his wide receivers, a lot of blown assignments with the offensive line. Clowney probably had one of his better games in his NFL career. Then he bounces back, as you mentioned yesterday, career high in completions, career high in pass attempts, career high in yards. And without Sanders out there for much of that second half, without George Kittle in that game, I just think Jimmy Garoppolo is getting better and better and better. And now he has a nice young budding receiver in Deebo Samuel. But still, people think Jimmy Garoppolo isn't good enough to take this team to the promised land. But I just look back at the season and say, this guy's getting better every single week.
Who doesn't think he's good enough?
Oh,
I want to know who that person might be.
Listen to our callers, Mooch. You tend to, too, man. Listen to a lot of people.
Yeah,
national,
well,
everybody.
Tell your callers that Jimmy Garoppolo's good enough. He's good enough. And they ought to be just really tickled pink to have that guy at quarterback. He's getting better. He's a youngster. And he doesn't have a lot of starts under his belt. But, boy, is he delivering. And like I said earlier, you know, he wasn't able to rely on a great stifling defense this time because Kyler Murray and Larry Fitzgerald and the boys, they were great. They got out in front, and they're pretty darn good on offense. And that run game, it wasn't able to rely on it like need be. That's the best. Those are the best two friends that a young quarterback can have. Okay, a great defense and a run game. Those are like bodyguards. But you know what? I don't want to say throw that out the window, but that wasn't as available this time as before. So Jimmy G had to do it. He had to do it, and boy, did he deliver. I mean, that's what else do you want? The kid wins. That's why we pay our quarterbacks. You know, it's not for stats. It's not for style points. It's to win games. You pay them to get W's, and this kid's finding a way to do that.
Steve, what happens to an offense like the Niners? Why can't they run the ball now? I get they don't have Kittle, but can it really be that simple? How do you run for 200 yards a game for the first five games, and then the next five games you're really struggling?
Well, you know, look at the last two games, okay? And Seattle's going to play good run defense, and Clowney certainly helps them over there. And so it was one of those kind of games where it was difficult to run the football because they loaded the box up some. I mean, if I'm a defensive coordinator and I have to play the Niners, Kyle's offense, I'm going to say, what do I have to take away first? I got to take away the run game most of the time and be heavy in the box, which means have more guys up there than they can block. And then we'll see. No Kittle, right? So when you have a Kittle, and when you have a healthy Emmanuel Sanders and the rest of them, and you said it, because Deebo Samuel's really coming into his own with 8 catches, 134 yards last time. And so you take away the run game first because they're a little bit light on supporting cast in the passing game. Now, when they get those guys back, when Kittle's back, he's as good as anybody in the league, maybe teams will have to play the safeties a little bit deeper. And then that run game opens up a little bit too and get Matt Breida back. But it's just how it is. Guys, you got to remember now, the Niners are 9-1, which is fantastic, number one seed right now. They've only played a couple of teams that have a winning record, and they've won one and lost one. And so the remaining part of the schedule is going to be really telling. The next three games are going to determine really what seed they're going to be, because you're talking about playoff teams. With the Packers coming to town and then playing at Baltimore, who looks like the best darn team in the league, and then at the Saints, who we know how hard it is to play in the dome over there against Drew Brees. So this is all going to come to a head here soon. But the Niners are very competitive. On any given day, I think they can beat anybody. But they got to get back healthy. And they got to win these close games like they've been able to do.
Yeah, Mooch, I don't have to tell you, you never have enough good receivers that could contribute. Bonte Mitchell, young Deebo Samuel. But I got to tell you, this season, I thought Dante Pettis was going to have a breakout season or at least be able to help. He basically didn't even play yesterday. My question to you is, Shanahan talked about how disappointed he is of young Pettis. How would you handle him going forward? Or you don't have time to pacify him. What would you say to, or how would you, groom young Dante Pettis at this point, who's pretty much been a disappointment?
Well, I probably put my arm around him a little bit and say, let's go. You're a pro. Let's finish the season strong the best way you can. And, yeah, we added Emmanuel Sanders because we needed more help. And, yeah, we like throwing to our tight ends. How about Dwelly over there? USD. San Diego. I'm so happy for that young kid. He comes from a great program down there. They only have scholarships down there, and they just win football. Anyway, enough of that. But, Pettis, they got to try to keep his dauber up because they're going to need him at some point. Somebody else is going to twist an ankle or whatever. And then, you make personnel decisions in the offseason. Right now, the other guys are playing better than he is, but that doesn't mean he can't contribute, So hopefully they'll find a way to keep his confidence and keep hope alive over there with him, and because at some point they're going to need him.
Mooch, I got to ask you about what happened in L.A. yesterday with the Chicago Bears. Mitchell Trubisky getting pulled there late in the game. And if you're the Bears, would you think about signing Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, I don't know. We saw on TV when Nagy kind of huddled up with Mitchell Trubisky and kind of told him he's going to sit him down the rest of the game, and it was kind of a private moment. Did you see that? He had his call sheet over there so nobody yeah. else could see or hear or anything. And it looked to me like he was saying, hey, listen, I'm going to pull you out of here. I'm going to get the other guy. Let's see if we can get a little spark here. I believe in you still. We're going to keep fighting through this together. You're a good player. You're a good guy and all this kind of thing. And I'm not losing hope in you. Just kind of let the other guy finish the game here and we'll reboot next week. That's what I thought it looked like, because I Mitchell Trubisky, the camera's on his face the whole rest of the game, right?
Right.
And so, gosh, the kid's in a tough spot, because so is the front office, because they moved up to get him, and people say, yeah, you could have had Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Well, geez, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But they got to try to salvage the season. It was a 12-14 last year, coach of the year. All of that worked well, and they're not playing, and nobody's playing as well as we expected, including the quarterback. I don't know that they're going to go get Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah,
he had a great opportunity on Saturday to work out for 25 scouts in the NFL, and then all of a sudden an audible shows up and they move it 60 miles away, and 2/3 of those scouts just went home. They said, "Are you kidding me?" And so that I don't think that helped Cap. I really don't. He had his own little workout at the high school, which seemed to be prearranged, and it was not a smooth thing. I think it was meant to be helpful for Cap to get re-exposed to all these clubs, and I don't think it happened that way.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us as always, and look forward to catching you up next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.